This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you, and we turn our attention to one of the bright spots of last night. Byron Pringle had a fantastic night, and I don't know about anybody else. I like the snack. He's got some great news about some snacks as well. Let's welcome former K-State Wildcat, current Kansas City Chief Byron Pringle to the program. Byron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. Let's start first with what you're doing with the folks from Pringle. This shockingly seems like a natural for a man named Byron Pringle that you would end up working with Pringles.
Pringle plus Pringle. Come on, man. You know, that's probably like the best deal you can – deal you can do right there.
Yeah,
we have 32 snacks for each team. Kansas City Chiefs have their own one called the Byron Pringle KC Barbecue Snack, and we got a little kit to it: a little jalapeno barbecue and sour cream and onion. Yeah,
that is like three of my favorite flavors all rolled into one. So, like, does it all work? Like, I know about stacking your Pringles with different flavors, like. This one, I don't even have to stack it. It's already all three in there, right?
No, you have to stack it. You have to stack it. And the best way to stack it when you eat in there, you stack them all together. And before you bite down on it, just close your eyes.
So now I like
just close your eyes and enjoy it.
So did you get to test out a lot of the different flavors, and did it become a problem in your training because you enjoyed the testing so much that you were taking on so many Pringles?
No, I just be snacking on them here and there. I just snack on them. They're just a fun snack just to have around, and they are portable, so you can travel with them, you know, and they got the lid on them, so.
Nothing easier than popping the lid back on and keeping them fresh. And plus, it makes you feel like they even have, like, the mini ones, right? That's what we have in my house for the kids. That makes it perfect for throwing in lunches and everything. And plus, it's just fun. How many have you tried yet to see how many Pringles you can take a bite of at one time? Because it may shock you looking at me. I have taken a shot at seeing how many Pringles I can bite one time.
No, sir, I never tried that. I never tried that.
That's probably why you look like you and I look like me. But it's a fun experiment. I'm going to tell you, you'll enjoy it. You know, I encourage everybody out there, find out how many Pringles you can bite in one bite. We're talking to Byron Pringle. They're announcing the new Kansas City flavor, the Byron Pringle Kansas City Barbecue Stack, featuring barbecue, jalapeno, and sour cream and onion Pringles. Byron, I do want to ask you, frustrating night last night, I know, at the end of the game. It didn't go the way you wanted. Although I will say, like, you know, some self-inflicted wounds and maybe just a perfect storm is what it took for Baltimore to finally beat you. How frustrating was it to have the game end up that way when it seemed like, you know, maybe if you guys didn't have some mistakes on your own, you walk out of Baltimore with yet another win?
We're not going to dwell on the loss. We're getting ready for the Chargers coming into town. And, you know, as fun as I just partner up with Pringles. And we have that KC spicy kick barbecue snack flavor by Byron Pringle. And I'm just enjoying that moment right now.
Did you? Before I
head into this week.
Did you enjoy catching a 40-yard touchdown? I mean, you had a nice night last night. Was that enjoyable?
No, not when you get an L under your belt. So I just focus on the next game, man.
Do you feel like, though, that, you know, this game they obviously went out and said, and there had been a lot of people saying, hey, can the rest of the receiving corps step up if Tyreek Hill gets taken away? Baltimore clearly made it a point to take him away, and you and Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, you guys combined to put up over 160 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, as a receiving corps, that has to feel good to know that you guys went out there and flexed your muscles and showed what this whole receiving corps can do.
Yeah, we're in the NFL. Everybody can play ball, so it's just a matter of time. and the opportunity and the play and just executing at a high level.
Is it easy to put a game like this behind you and just move on? I mean, the games keep coming, right? 17 of them
yes,
now.
Sir.
But is it hard?
No, it's not hard. It's early in the season, so we still got a long season ahead of us, and we just focus on the next game, taking one game at a time.
Do you know who's after the Chargers?
No, sir.
that's the right answer, right? Is to just know what the next one is, right?
Yeah, I know after the game on Sunday.
Yeah. How much do you enjoy playing with a guy like Tyreek Hill, and how much have you been able to learn from him?
It's a great opportunity to play with a dude like that. Obviously, he's one of the greatest receivers in the game, and he has some speed that nobody can teach. And he also physical. He may be small, but he's physical. He can play the game. He a student of the game, and he approach every day. I love his approach, positive mindset, and that one-and-no mentality.
Yeah, you're no stranger to the physical side of things either. I mean, you grade out as one of the better blocking wideouts out there. I mean, you clearly take pride in the physical part of your game as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's better, catching a long pass or taking a DB off his feet blocking?
Depends on which one. I like both. I like both, but I like it depending on the situation of ball, you know, so.
One more question for you, and that's about Patrick Mahomes. What have you learned playing with Patrick Mahomes? What was it like when you first got out there on the field with him, seeing the velocity, all the angles, all the different things he does? Was there a bit of a wow factor, and now is it kind of old hat? Because fans still haven't, they still ooh and ah with all the things he does. What's it like when you're catching the balls on the other end?
Just never stop running. You know he can extend plays. So, she never stopped running. And, it's Pat. And, you know, he's one of the greatest right now in the game as well. Like, yeah, I'm playing with him. And just being able to be one of his guys when my name called upon, just to execute at a high level.
Do you remember a certain time where you had, like, a wow moment where he fired one out and you're like, I never thought it would be coming my way? Or maybe even just standing on the sideline, something he did. You know, with someone else, do you have a memory of one of those times where your jaw just kind of popped open?
In OTAs, even with a no look, I caught the ball, but it's just crazy. You never know when it comes to you, so it just stay running. Keep your eyes on the quarterback if you're looking back, because you never know when he's gonna throw you the ball.
Is he as cool in the huddle as he appears to those of us watching on TV? I mean, is he ice in his veins when he's standing in there in that huddle? Because that's what it looks like on TV.
Yes, sir. He controls it the right way and with a positive mindset and positive energy. So that's a good thing about having a quarterback that's positive, even when it's not looking good, just having that positive mindset.
Byron, I know you got a busy day. I know you're talking to a lot of people. We look forward to stacking up our Pringles, Byron Pringle style, the Byron Pringle Kansas City barbecue stack. Got three flavors, jalapeno, sour cream and onion, and, of course, the barbecue. That's the way to go. We'll all get out there, grab our Pringles. I do encourage you to see how many Pringles you can bite into in one bite. Just it's a great texture sensation. And then just maybe I'll hit you up with, later in the year, how many you got in there, all right?
Yes, sir. Make sure everybody go check out the other 31 stats from each team and see which flavor they like.
Sounds good. Byron Pringle, thanks so much for the time. Keep up the great work, and hopefully we'll talk to you again down the road.
Yes, sir.
The Program with Seren Petro.
Thank God there's only one of these a day.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Who was the last chief before Tyron Matthew?
Can I tell you, I wish I went to Good Sense today on my way in.
I'm saying.
I was going to say.
I went Friday night before I settled in for the Chiefs, my Chiefs pregame prep.
Totally Russian. So stopped by a place. Yeah, we got nothing for like 20 minutes. Wow.
Well, I'll see you guys never.
Yeah. So do you want to wait? It's a drive-thru. Do you think I'm going to wait? No. Shoot me first.
I'll wait at a nice restaurant on a Friday night for 20 minutes. I'm not waiting in a drive-thru for 20 minutes.
We had some Good Sense Saturday with the family.
You don't wait at Good Sense.
We love that. We got the family order. It's on the app. It's easy. Simple. Found it in Lenexa.
It'd been
locally owned and operated.
It'd been a minute or two since I went, and I went Friday night to the one up here, 135th, and took
me up. Good. It's always good. It's the best.
Awesome.
All right, anyway, you were saying?
Who was the last Chief before Tyrann Mathieu to get a pick six on the game's first possession? Chiefs kickoff, other team, first possession, pick six.
Steve Smith, was that long when he had? Was that on the first possession against the Dolphins? Derek Johnson actually get his hands on one?
Nope.
Donnie Edwards?
Nope. Went to a Big 12 school that was also in the Big 8.
So a Big 8 school?
Yeah.
Is it still in the Big 12?
No.
It's gone already, or it's going to be gone?
It is gone.
Is it Eric Warfield?
Eric Warfield.
Wow. You had the answer, though. He told you the answer.
I didn't tell him the answer.
Okay.
Versus Oakland. September 9th, 2001, at Arrowhead, season opener. He went 51 yards against former Chief Rich Gannon. The Chiefs lost that game in overtime despite a last-minute diving, game-tying touchdown catch by Marvin Snoop Menace.
Snoop!
2 days before 9/11.
Marvin Snoop Menace was by far a distant third of the best Snoops I've ever seen. Can you name the better Snoops, Curtis?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. He's number one.
Snoop. The actual dog. There had to be another Snoop.
Come on, Curtis.
Actually, I'll put Snoopy in at three.
In three.
So
bump Snoop Minutes back down to four.
Snoop Minutes goes down to four. Good call.
He slides.
The dog.
Yeah, he slides. You got it? By the way, we're going to take your phone calls. I know we've had a lot going on here in the program, but if you want to grab a line right now, talking some Chiefs football, 913-3-810-810. Jim is going to lead us off, but I got lines open, 913-3-810-810. If you want to talk some Chiefs football here, who is the second best Snoop? Jed, mic closed.
I don't nizzle my brizzle.
Curtis, this is a layup. He talked about this person a lot recently.
About a month ago? For about a month or two.
Mm-hmm. It was a very popular topic on this radio show.
Nah, you go ahead and handle that. I'm not about that.
He has nothing.
Totally
he has nothing.
I can't believe it.
You don't know because you haven't seen a television show for 40 years.
Except for NYPD Blue and Law and Order SVU. That's the only show I've ever seen, actually. I'm not arguing with you. I've seen those two shows in 40 years. Newsroom.
I'm
guessing he's on The Wire.
She
is on The Wire. Okay.
Stone Cold Killer.
Yeah.
She is one of the great television characters of all time. She's awesome. She alone.
Cool.
When she goes and buys the nail gun.
Yeah, that's a good scene.
One of my favorite scenes of
the
history of television.
I've actually seen a clip of that scene.
I think I might have played it.
Maybe she was in court. Talking about it or something.
I think you're thinking of Omar being in court.
There was a woman who was on, I thought she was on the stand or something. They were talking about the nail,
gun
thing. Nail gun thing sounds familiar.
She doesn't make it to the stand.
Oh, okay. she's talking to somebody about it. I remember seeing that scene, the nail gun.
She goes into like a big box store and buys a nail gun, pays cash to the guy she's asking the questions of and just takes it. Nah, well, no, you got to take it up to the register. Nah, I'm not about all that blankety blank.
I have seen that.
I'll let you take care of that.
You earned that bump like a...
It's like $600 and some odd. She hands him like $800. And he's like, this is like $800. Ah, yeah, you earned that. You sold that thing like a...
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great scene. 913-3-810-810. Good Sense went out the door there. Eric Warfield.
Eric Warfield.
Easy E.
Yep.
Eric Warfield getting it done. Nebraska Cornhuskers. Was that a win for the Huskers just playing Oklahoma tough?
I guess. I mean, I guess they probably, their fans got a better feeling out of that game. Maybe that Oklahoma fans did based on what was expected from both sides.
Yeah.
which gives tells you something about both programs right now.
Yeah, it does. It does speak to it, but I digress. Anyway, Chiefs lose 36-35. If you're just joining us, I'll sum up my opening thoughts. Defense sucks. Not going to be great. Although Curtis is going to give us some numbers here in a minute that says that all is not falling, that all is not lost because of how bad the defense appears. But I think really self-inflicted wounds why they didn't win. They still probably should have won that game, even as bad as their defense is. And I think that's the reality of the modern NFL. If you have an outlandishly good offense, you should still win most games because you should be able to go score for score and even bad defenses back ass into a stop here and there. But I do think Andy Reid's going to have to, very quickly, if the defense doesn't turn around, embrace the fact that he's in boat races. And it can't be about trying to – I thought it was a – you know, it pains me to throw a compliment Mick Schaefer's way, but I'm going to do it. He had a – the way he put it was Andy Reid at times seems to be trying to map out the finish of the game, how many possessions. And I agree with him that I think, no, it's got to be – floor to the gas, right? Pedal to the metal, put as many points on the board as you can until there aren't enough possessions left for the other team at a touchdown per possession to catch you. Otherwise, you know, any kind of game management that includes, well, we'll get a stop has to be thrown out the window. And it has to be points, 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 points until the other team doesn't have enough possessions to get to your current point total. And you know, that's not where you want to be, but I think it's reality and what needs to be embraced. I think Andy Reid felt like his defense was going to, you know, rise up the way they did against the Cleveland Browns. And to an extent, I mean, he had the ball in his possession where they could have taken the lead with a field goal and, of course, maybe put it away with a touchdown, although I don't know that that would have put it away. But the defense really was, other than turnovers, another thing Mick said, which, again, really painful to throw a couple of compliments at our buddy Mick Schaefer, but he said the Chiefs defense's motto should be, "We're here if you make a mistake."
That's strong.
I thought that was pretty accurate. 913-3810-810. Jim, you're in the program. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I've heard a lot of people harp on the Mahomes interception, which it was a bad throw, but the only defense I take is that's why he's so great, is because he tries to make plays. He tries to make big plays. So I don't hold that throw in near ill regards as the fumble or how the defense played.
Of course, yes. I mean, you're nowhere without Patrick Mahomes in this game. You're getting blown out. So did he make a mistake? Bad throw? Yes. You know what it turns out? I'm actually happy to see it. He is human. He's not an alien. He's not a robot. This is a real person, and we finally saw the humanity in the man. He tried to do a little bit too much and still was in position to win the game, if not for somebody else making a mistake.
And it's difficult to choke that. I mean, you how do you find the perfect – it's not a machine that you can set at 9.2, you know, on the aggression factor and say, okay, let's dial it back from what last night was. Because if you dial it back too much – then you wonder, does he go for plays like he did to Travis Kelce? I'll be interesting to see this coming Sunday if he's less aggressive in those. Well,
no,
I don't expect he will be.
No,
but
there's nothing to see on Sunday.
You just have to take what happened last night, and that's going to happen for the other plays to happen. That's how I think it's going to be.
Jim, go ahead. Finish your point before the kennel overruns you.
Oh, just lastly, that Kelce play, if that's not played on his Hall of Fame induction, I don't know what will be. That was a fantastic play.
Yeah. Good call. I like that. And Jim, thank you for the call. I mean, tight ends snaking across the field.
That was something.
Every
single thing that Travis Kelce can do was you saw in that one play.
What I love the most about it is he was always going upfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wasn't any DeMarcus Robinson cutting back, and he used to try to do that. He's realized, listen, I got to get what I can get, and he was just up the field, snaking his way across and cutting back, but always positive gains.
Mm-hmm.
Always positive gains.
And got some good blocks downfield, but most that 98% of that was Travis Kelce.
Fastest tight end in the history of the NFL to 8,000 yards receiving. He went over that mark yesterday in that game and continues to hang records. He's the fifth fastest to 50 touchdowns. Although that one's kind of amazing. I think he got there in 112 games. Gronk got there in 56. But, I mean, he's fifth fastest.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
How much he didn't have Tyreek Hill.
That's true. 913-3810-810. Let's go to Travis. You're in the program, Travis. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question for you. Are we done with the Chris Jones experiment on the outside? I mean, he looked really out of place yesterday. He looked awful. He looked lost, crashing down on the inside like he was. I mean, they just were running around him.
Mm-hmm. If not him, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If not him, then who?
Well, and I understand that, and I know that they have an issue, but at the same time, he's elite on the inside, and he's a dude on the outside.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. That's one of the things I talked about in the opening segment. If you missed it, you can catch it at 810WHB.com. But I said, look, you're talking about a guy who constantly graded top five at defensive tackle and is now grading 18, 19, 20 at defensive end, 32 teams. That makes him roughly average amongst, you know, your number one edge, right? If you got
I get what you're saying. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to make sure I get this last thing.
Yeah, go
out
ahead.
Before.
Get it out there, buddy.
So I think there's a philosophy issue with the defense. I mean, if they're looking at the personnel that we have on defense and guys like Ben Neiman and Dan Sorensen are who they want on their defense starting, I mean, in my opinion, Dan Sorensen is like a special teams guy. Ben Neiman should be like, oh, my God, we have nobody else. Let's put him in there at linebacker guy. And they're starting on this defense, and it shows. I mean, neither one of those guys, in my opinion, are very good. Dan Sorensen is literally the bane of my existence. He either makes a game-winning play or he screws up the entire play. Yeah, he gets where he's supposed to be, but then he just either whips on the tackle. It's like he's in concrete. I mean, the guy is excruciating to watch. Football.
I think the issue is, and thank you for the call, Travis, you're seeing too much of Daniel Sorensen, right? Daniel Sorensen is a good football player and has a spot on this roster, but I will back you up 100%. And it's another one of the things I mentioned in the open. You can't keep drafting second and third rounders that don't play for guys that are making the league minimum to play over them. Okay, so Dan Sorensen's making $1.5 million, I think, is the number, which is basically the veteran minimum. And you've got a second-round pick in Juan Thornhill who plays 11 snaps compared to Daniel Sorensen's 76. That's a fundamental problem. And if you didn't have Ben Neiman playing 50-some-odd snaps or more over a second-round pick in Nick Bolton, who looked lost at times, but again, that's a fundamental issue. He looked lost in coverage at times. One time the ball, him turning away from the football, having no idea where the ball was coming.
Yeah, it was rough.
And, listen, we all want to root for the local guy, the Mizzou guy, and I think he's going to be a good player on the mic, right at middle linebacker, when he takes over next year for Anthony Hitchens. But, you know, that's a second-round pick that's getting twisted around, turned around, not grading well. Another second-round pick we think is going to play well, Willie Gay Jr., but he wasn't out there last year, but a handful of snaps. You know, Colin Saunders, I'll have to look up Saunders' snap count.
29.
29 snaps out of 76. That's a third-round pick, defensive lineman. You know, if you can find guys that do what you want to do in Daniel Sorensen, you know, just out there, street free agents, Ben Neiman, college free agents, if you can find those guys, that's great. But start drafting offensive guys with second and third-round picks then, exclusively. I mean, I think it's clear that something's got to give between Steve Spagnuolo and Brett Veach. You can't be, and we can go on back and even point previously, you know, Dorian O'Daniel, a third-round pick. Second and third-round picks need to become starters, right? All of them. Now, is that going to happen? No, you're going to miss, and you have to make up for that by hitting on some guys in rounds 4 through 7 that play up to being starting caliber players. Legarius Sneed. Legarius Sneed makes up for Dorian O'Daniel. Okay? But across the board, you've got to be adding like 4 starters every year to your roster, and they can't all be making $10-plus million a year from free agency. Over the course of 3 years, going into a fourth year, after 3 years, the fourth year, there's like 7 guys left from your roster that was there 4 years ago. 7. So do the math. That's 46 players that have to turn over 3 years.
Let's look at the 11 starters last night. Only 3 of them did they draft in the second or third round. Chris Jones, Derek Nottie, and Nick Bolton. But Nottie was a third round pick, wasn't he? A second or third round pick?
Second and third, yeah, I got it right here, I'll tell you.
But Reed, free agent, Clark, trade, Neiman wasn't a high draft pick, Hitchens.
Nottie was a third. Yeah. Breland Speak second, Nottie and O'Daniel third in that draft. Armani Watts, Tremont Smith, Khalil McKenzie. Yeah. Listen, and you know, people are going to be like, Brett Veach. Steve Spagnuolo, they both have to be spoken about at the same time. You know, it's, especially with the draft picks that have been there with Steve Spagnuolo. Because I guarantee you Brett Veach isn't just taking guys and going, you know, deal with it, Spags. Here he is. You know, Spagnuolo's giving him. I mean, I can tell you Josh Kando looks like the defensive lineman. Looks like, physically, the defensive lineman he had with the New York Giants. Right? That clearly, there's a long, angular look to what Steve Spagnuolo wants with his defensive lineman. He likes tall, lanky defensive linemen.
Knee benders.
And, you know, so they have to be getting production. And if you can't, or if the defense is so complicated, which I don't think is the case, but if the defense is so complicated that you can't get guys out on the field, then stop drafting defensive guys early. Because smart guys that run 4.8s don't have to go in the second or third round. And start drafting more weaponry for the other side of the ball. Get a premium offensive tackle. Package the picks to move up and get the premium offensive players. Package the picks to move up and get the premium defensive players. You know, you don't mind Dan Sorensen and Ben Neiman being out there. If Ray Lewis is on the mic, ripping everything up, right? And Frank Clark's roaring off the edge like Derek Thomas, they wouldn't look so bad. But let's go back to where it is. We can get pissy about Daniel Sorensen, and we can get pissy about Ben Neiman. That's not your problem. Your problem is $84 million Chris Jones is playing like a $6 million defensive end against the run, less. And $20-plus million a year, $100 million contract, Frank Clark is playing like a pedestrian. That's your problem. I mean, we're burying the lead if we're going to piss and moan about Dan Sorensen and Ben Neiman. The problem is Anthony Hitchens and Frank Clark making tons of money and not producing. Frank Clark taking up a first and second round pick and not producing. Chris Jones has more than delivered on his second round pick. He more than delivers on his contract previous to this one. And when he plays at D-tackle, he lives up to this contract. The defensive end, he's not. Now, listen, let's have some patience. It is a new spot. And the Browns and Ravens, and in particular the Ravens,
yes,
who attack the edge in the running game with a weapon that no one else has, save maybe the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray, they're not going to see either one of those teams. The Browns running attack, the Ravens running attack. You know, the Titans in the playoffs are the other AFC team that they will see like that, and the Cardinals in the Super Bowl are the other NFC team that has a threat on the edge like Lamar Jackson. So these are two teams that pitch backwards.
Yeah, the next 4 weeks, Chargers, Eagles, Bills, football team are not going to see what we saw the last 2 weeks, probably.
They're going to look a lot more traditional in how they attack this defense. So we'll have a better feeling for how good this defense is. But make no mistake about it, the Ravens and Browns, I don't think you're going to the Super Bowl and avoiding both those teams.
No. And the two teams they face like that, they're 0-2 in stopping the run, effectively.
913-3-810-810. Tony, you're in the program. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, great show, as always.
My question is,
are we getting lined up pre-snap? And it doesn't feel like it. It feels like there's a lot of times where Bolton, who's a new guy and more athletic than some of the other guys out there, is not sure where to be. And Frank Clark and your other defensive end obviously aren't going to be in the show when they're the quarterback for the other team is trying to run the ball, and both of those guys are just trying to blast and get up the field and make plays like defensive ends make. But pre-snap, I think if you go back and look at it and slow it down, we do not look good pre-snap. And if you don't look good pre-snap, typically you're not going to look great after the snap. And I'm sure that's one of the areas where the teacher's looking at it, but that's just my opinion as a bad football coach. So we are not where we need to be. And last night, 4th and 1, we don't even recognize that they're in an over situation towards the left, and we just don't even match up well. So it's a weird deal, but we got to get pre-snap better.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. And Tony, thank you for the call. And that's one of the reasons why you don't want to be sitting there with no timeouts in that situation. Right? You want to have some timeouts so you can be like, whoa, we're not ready for this. Timeout. But you had to burn all three to get to where you were. And you don't want to be sitting at 4th and 1. You want to be sitting at 4th and 8. You want to have made some stops in the backfield to make it a long distance. So, I mean, to me, the fourth and one, yes, we can analyze that till we're blue in the face. The problem was that it was fourth and one. And the Chiefs were just not stopping anything. Yeah. You knew they were running, and you couldn't stop them when you knew they were running. 6-8, you're on the program. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, real quick, before I get to the Chiefs, I just want to say, if Urban Meyer doesn't take the job, I don't know if they're going to hire this guy or not, but the right guy for USC job is Joe Brady. He made, what's his name?
Joe Burrow.
In Cincinnati. He went from a free agent to the first pick in 1 year. So yeah. If they don't hire him, then oh well. Okay, the problem with the Chiefs is, in my opinion, they haven't drafted an impact player since Kareem Hunt. You can't have bad draft after bad draft after bad draft after bad draft. Sooner or later, the roof's going to cave in, and it's caving in because they don't have enough good players on defense. You got one good player. You got one tremendous impact player at three technique in Chris Jones, and you have a ball-hawking safety, but he can't hit and he can't cover. After that, you just got a bunch of just average players.
Wait. Are you saying
–
I just want to be clear on this. Hang on. L'Jarius Sneed is an impact player, so I think you need to give a little more credit for him.
He hasn't started a full year yet, so I can't call him an impact player.
Sure you can.
I mean, Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing his first year. That's an impact player.
L'Jarius Sneed was all rookie. Like, what do you – I mean,
he didn't start all 16 games, though, did he?
He's played enough. L'Jarius Sneed's an impact player. We're not going to waste any time arguing about that.
I disagree.
Okay.
He's not a shutdown quarter. He's not an impact player.
Yeah, I'll let the court of public opinion vote on which one of us is right, and I'll live with the results on that one. But are you saying Tyrann Mathieu, he's a ball hawk, but what did you say? He can't cover and he can't hit?
He can't cover, and he doesn't hit. But that's not the point. I'm not blaming those two. I'm blaming the people that's taken over since John Dorsey drafted two Hall of Famers and two potential Hall of Famers. That's what I'm saying. They haven't drafted enough good players. That's why the roof is caving in. And it's just as simple as that. If people want to accept it, don't accept it. Okay.
So the roof is caving in. So this season ends how? If the roof is caving in, how would you describe it?
It ends them with not winning the Super Bowl. That's how it ends. And you have the best quarterback since Dan Marino. But, hey, if you don't want to draft right, then that's what happens.
Well, and Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl, so.
Exactly. I mean, it's not his fault. He's not over the personnel.
Well, but all right, I get your point. But I listen. I think Chris, you have a point. I think they need to draft better. And
Chris?
I'm sorry, 6-8. I'm sorry. you have a point that they, I think they need to draft better, or they need to get the draft picks on the field. I mean, I think that's clearly a theme that's here. And I'm going to let you go, buddy. I always appreciate the call. I wouldn't say that the roof is caving in. I will say though that I think you're prone to exaggeration to make your point 6-8, and I think your point is valid that if you say okay, well, what does this team need next year? D end, linebacker,
absolutely,
safety. If Juan Thornhill can't beat out Daniel Sorensen now,
wide receiver.
Why is he? There in the future. Tyreek Hill's about ready to cost an enormous amount of money. Wide receiver. Offensive tackle, unless you're going to pay $20 million a year for Orlando Brown. I think offensive tackle's a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Running back. Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire validated that spot?
Yeah.
So, to your point, personnel-wise, yeah. Now, if we get to week 8 and Willie Gay has come back and he is making plays all over the field, and Nick Bolton starts taking time at middle linebacker, or if Anthony Hitchens would be hurt and Nick Bolton moves over and is the starting middle linebacker, and Juan Thornhill is playing 76 snaps, and it's 20 or so snaps for Daniel Sorensen because Thornhill's the number one guy. If at that time Derek Nottie's healthy, because that is a third-round pick that's been a good one for this team, and Colin Saunders is playing more snaps, then I think you can look at this. Creed Humphrey is already giving them production. Then I think you look at this, and maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes around. We can look at this really different.
It's pretty hard to judge this year's draft class on two games. So you're really stuck judging, from his perspective, 18, 19, and 20.
Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith have started both games along the offensive line. And Nick Bolton has played a significant amount, although is seemingly struggling in coverage and has not graded well.
All right.
but he's in his second game. So your point's valid. Listen, the Baltimore Ravens last year, who was the linebacker from LSU that was starting for them last
Queen.
Night? Queen.
Queen
was terrible last year, but he was all over the field last night. And you're going to have to – the one thing I will give the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers is when they draft guys, they play them and they live with it. Yep. Good or bad, right or wrong, those guys are going out on the field.
And you see the improvement from year to year.
And if you're going to be Jags and Stars, then you've got to get the athletes out on the field. The Stars got to play like Stars or you got to get rid of them. And I think one of the things that has to happen is going to have to happen is the contract construction that's going on. And everybody loves how, oh – look at how they just massage the cap and they get all these guys in there. Okay, that's great. But when you start massaging the cap and get all these guys in there, you end up in situations where you can't cut Anthony Hitchens and his $11 million cap hit. You can't cut Frank Clark and his $25 million cap hit. Because you've constructed everything, backloading it, and you've got to go 3 years before you can get out from under it. So if you make a mistake, you're living with that mistake. And at that price, that's a big mistake to live with. And Frank Clark, you know, is it a mistake? It is this year. Was it in 19? No. He was an essential part of a run to a championship. But they overpaid for that championship, and now they're paying the price with the roster. 913-3-810-810, you're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I wanted to hear mindless droning. I'd befriend an air conditioner.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chiefs fall. The sky is falling with it for many people. Relax. It's all right. They had as many self-inflicted wounds as the Ravens inflicted upon them. They'll be fine. Relax. But the defense is a concern. Anthony wants in on the conversation. You're in the program, Anthony. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get your thoughts on – I'm glad that one of the other callers brought up Daniel Sorensen because I think with him
– Anthony, did we lose you, buddy? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, your phone cut out there for a second. Can you start over real quick?
Oh, yeah. Talking to the one guy last brought up, Daniel Sorensen.
Right.
And I think his problem is he's just so inconsistent. And I think that's kind of symptomatic of this whole defense in a way, Spagnuolo, where there will be like quarters or there will be the occasional game where they're just lights out. Like, this is a championship defense. We could do this all the time. And then they'll come back later and it's just like, what happened? Where'd that defense go?
I'm going to stick up for, and thank you for the call, Anthony. I'm going to stick up for Daniel Sorensen a little bit. I don't think he's inconsistent. I think actually that's what they like about him. He's consistent, but he's limited athletically. And so there are times that they get a mismatch on him and he gets exposed. And I think the problem is that Juan Thornhill is not either taking the job or the coaching staff has not been able to give him the knowledge he needs to go take the job. I think if Daniel Sorensen is your nickel safety that comes in playing like a linebacker, you're pretty happy. The problem is he's your starting safety that's in on every single down. Scott, you're in the program. What's up, Scott?
Hi, Soren.
What's up, buddy?
Well, I want to talk about, in my opinion anyway, like last night when Hilaire ran the ball, the problem I have, at least with Reed sometimes, is I don't think the best player, the most expensive player on the team ought to ever have the ball out of his hand at the end of a game. Now, my fear with Hilaire wasn't so much of him fumbling. He's usually pretty good at, you know, taking care of the ball.
I think that was his first career fumble, wasn't it?
Yep.
Well, I mean, he did lose it, but my biggest fear is him losing 5 yards when you're not really in field goal position exactly for, you know, a for sure field goal. So if he's going to run it, to me it would seem like Mahomes going right or left.
No, come on. You cannot be serious. Your want is for Mahomes to run the ball more?
No, I'm not saying him to run it. I'm saying in a position to run it, but really to pass the ball down the field to somebody that may be wide open. I just feel like at the end of a game, he should be the one making all the plays. That's just that's my opinion anyway.
Look, I don't think it's foolish, right, Scott? I mean, and I appreciate the call, buddy, and thank you for the kind words. Saying I want my $450 to $500 million quarterback to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game is not the act of a fool. I do think they got down to a point, and what they really needed to do was finish off the Ravens at 35-24.
Yes.
That's really drive.
So they score there. It's ball game. It's an 18-point lead. You probably
if
do
you put
force,
a field goal up there.
Yeah. But if you put it in the end zone particularly, I mean, you probably force the Ravens out of their run it regardless. You probably get a pick. And this game might have been a 21-point or 22-point win.
Yeah, and look, nobody had a problem with Andy Reid running the ball more in the second half against the Cleveland Browns, and it really it flipped the script. He kept the Browns' offense off the field. He protected his defense, and they got first downs. The problem was this time they weren't getting first downs, and they didn't get more points. It's why I think you got to go fast break and score until there are more. You're up more than there are possessions times touchdowns for the other team to get to. Ryan, you're in the program. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how's it going? So everyone's talking doom and gloom. First thing, I just want to say, hey, stop messing with my man, Dirty Dan Torrance, then, okay? That guy, I love that guy. I agree with you completely, though. His only problem is that athletically he's just not as gifted as the rest of the team. So doom and gloom, everybody, the sky is falling, all that. So we just played, for perspective, we played probably our two biggest challengers for the AFC, and we came out of it 1-1, and we are what the Ravens and all of their fans would probably look at and say, a miracle fumble away from being 2-0. I mean, and that's tough, to go into Baltimore and win. I know he's had the number and all that, but I don't care. It's still the Baltimore Ravens, and we almost won that game. I know there's no moral victories, but whatever. I feel like by the time that we're done with week six, we're done with the football team, we are probably 5-1. You look around the AFC right now, you got the Titans that are 1-1 that looked awful in one of their games. You got the Bills that are 1-1 that looked awful in one of their games. You got the Ravens that are 1-1, who are, again, a miracle fumble away from being 0-2. Andy Reid, I think, just got out coached at the end of that game, because I would agree with what the boys on the Border Patrol said this morning. He took the ball out of his best player's hands. I agree with what your last caller said. If you give that ball to Patrick Mahomes, you either let him scramble and make a play, or every once in a while Pat Mahomes will pick up 10, 15 yards with his
feet. Yeah, and every once in a while he'll get his clock cleaned and he'll be out. That sounds great, Ryan. I appreciate the call. Everybody wants you to give it to somebody else when a guy fumbled. Handing the football to a running back that's never fumbled is not a mistake by the head coach when you're trying to not only score points but also end the clock. I can't disagree more. Listen, the problem is that they didn't score more points earlier. The problem is the defense. You lose the Andy Reid part of the equation. The defense sucks. Okay, Chris Jones makes a lot of money, and he sucked at defensive end. That's the problem. Frank Clark is non-existent. That is the problem. Anthony Hitchens can't cover. That's the problem. Nick Bolton didn't know where the ball was.
Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, how many times has a player had 200 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, and two rushing touchdowns in the same game? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.